This is an Algoa FM news exclusive.
Where to begin with such a story? I guess the beginning.
Gosh, it's been a minute since we hung out together discussing one of the most talked about murder cases in Gqeberha, dating back to October 2021. So many people have asked me, what is happening with the trial of Vicky Terblanche? When is it going ahead? What is the latest? Well, there wasn't much to report on, as a trial date has been set down in the High Court from the 9th of October to the 6th of December. It's a full 3 months. It's going to be a very long trial, and I can tell you it will be a lot longer than the 3 months, no doubt. Now, the first 2 weeks of trial will also see the third anniversary of Vicky's death. Her body was found in a shallow grave in Greenbushes just days before her 43rd birthday. So now the pre-trial conference got underway. And what is a pre-trial conference? Well, in layman terms, it's an opportunity for the state and the defense to iron out some issues, you know, to ensure that there won't be unnecessary delays during the trial. Now, here's where things hit a bump in the road, because the moment state advocate Marius Stander addressed the judge, the first thing he said was he's not ready to proceed with the pre-trial conference. Now, before going into his reasons, I wanted to zone in on the judge. There have been several judges presiding over different stages of this case. And for this pre-trial conference, it is Judge Bulelwa Pakati. I always like to look into judges, you know, their case history, where they were born, who they are all about, because you're not in court, and I want to give you that kind of feeling that you're in court with me. Now, Judge Bakati was born and raised in the Eastern Cape and then worked quite a long time in Kimberley in the High Court there, and she made a specific request to the judiciary to be transferred back to the Eastern Cape, specifically Gqeberha, which she said would be better for her mental health. And I stumbled upon an interview Judge Bakati did in 2021 where she explained how she wanted to go into law from a very young age, and she gave her reasons why.
The treatment of young girls that I witnessed at the time influenced my decision to choose law. We had a custom called ukutwala. That was the order of the day when I grew up. A young girl would be waylaid, assaulted and abducted by a group of men for purposes of having sexual intercourse with her and get her to marry either one of them or a family member. She would be kept against her will at the paternal home of the prospective husband. If he is at home, he would have sexual intercourse with her without her consent. A message would be sent to her family. If both families agreed to the arrangement, then lobola negotiations would take place and the young girl would be married to the man. Most of the times, this man would be a stranger to her. That, to me, was unfair and tantamount to treating women as objects by forcing them to marry to strangers without considering how they felt or wanted for their future. It would also stop them from pursuing their dreams of becoming what they wanted to be. I therefore wanted justice for them.
This audio was courtesy of the judiciary. It's important to know that Judge Bakati doesn't know the ins and outs of this case regarding Vicky, but this is not necessary, as the pre-trial conference deals with particular aspects that you don't need to know who died and how they died and so forth. It is a pivotal juncture in the litigation process. This is where you resolve disputes and you evaluate the readiness of the parties and whether all the necessary evidence and documents have been submitted. And I would now like to go to the reasons offered by State Advocate Marius Stander as to why he was not ready to proceed, while nearly 3 years have passed since the murder. Firstly, he admitted that the entire copy of the docket has not yet been made available to the defence. And this is what the defence has been hammering on for months now, because remember, they still need to prepare their case and their strategy on how they're going to defend their client, Arnold. The digital data was also still outstanding due to the volume of the data. Marius Stander said they only recently got what they called a reader, which I'm assuming is someone that can interpret the data, I suppose. And it had to be collected in Cape Town on an external hard drive. And we know that this kind of data can be crucial in cracking the case, and the defense would need to know what the state has discovered. They have a right to know. And Standard added that both Leach and that Blanche's legal counsel would have to give him an external hard drive of 1 gigabyte to get the data for themselves. And Standard indicated that Arnold's team asked for particulars and further discovery, but he said he would not bind himself to a set version because the state needs to consult with certain witnesses. Now you may ask why on earth he has not consulted with all these witnesses. There are currently 48 names on the state witness list. But he said one has now lawyered up, Mario de Ridder Jr., the state's key witness, the man who was allegedly present when Vicky was killed alongside Reinhard Leach and Dylan Cullis, who's already serving his sentence. 7 other state witnesses, he said, are either 204s or potential 204s because they might implicate themselves and now they want legal aid. Now, Peter Doberman, for the defense, he questioned if this was even provided for within the Criminal Procedures Act. He wants time to consider this and he wants to discuss it with Arnold, which is fair. How would these witnesses implicate themselves? That's what he asked. And also made mention that to be a 204 witness, you had to meet certain requirements. But as proceedings continued, it became clear to me what a big issue was. It was access to 2 people who are state witnesses, but the defense say no, it's their witnesses. Arnold's team does not want Standard to consult with them, and they are Arnold's adult daughter Natalie, who was present in court, and Arnold's domestic worker Yolani. Standard said to Bocati, of course he needs to consult with Natalie and Sharon Yolani, whose name has always been on the state witness list. Not only was Yolani in court, she was there with a lawyer, and I can only assume that Arnold is paying for her services. Standard made a good point by saying that they would be defeating the ends of justice by not consulting with Yolani, because how on earth would they be able to prove the crime scene without her testimony? He said, and I quote, Yolani was on the crime scene before police, before the body was found, and communicated with Arnold. He further said, and I quote, they trampled all over the crime scene for 2 days. Natalie, on the other hand, if you remember during the second bail hearing, based on new facts, the state threatened to make more arrests and the pressure was on Natalie because of a handwritten note found with amounts paid over allegedly to Pundilezweni, who allegedly promised to get Arnold out of prison. So Natalie, whose lawyer is also Alwyn Gribeno, made an affidavit via Alwyn and gave it to the state, where she said she was not in a position to confirm whose handwriting was on the note, but said it was not hers. However, she did say she made payments on behalf of her father and upon his instructions. So you can see now why it is also important for the state to consult with Natalie on this matter. Mario Standard said because of him being blocked by accessing these 2 witnesses, he's being obstructed from doing his job. And he says, therefore, he cannot make particulars available of further discovery without talking to them. I cannot imagine how stressful this must be for Arnold's domestic worker. And I agree wholeheartedly that her evidence is absolutely crucial to this case. Because during a break in court, I saw several other state witnesses who were subpoenaed to be there, all of them wanting legal aid. Arnold's ex-girlfriend, Crystal Wiggle, her twin sister. And I speak under correction, but I think another person I saw at court was the man who dug the grave in Greenbushes for Vicky to be buried in. Let's not forget about Crystal Wiggle and her twin sister. If I can take you way back to one of the first affidavits from the investigating officer, Kanha Swanepoel. He stated that Wiggle was instructed by Arnold on the 20th of October 2021 to phone SAPS and to tell them she received complaints of dogs barking at the property and requested them to go there as Vicky had not been home in 2 days. Now, according to the state, Arnold told Crystal via WhatsApp that if they send someone to check the house, they'll find the drugs and that it would be a good time to send someone as everything will be exposed. But Wiggle was in Johannesburg, according to the investigating officer, and then she called her mother and requested her to phone the police, but that also didn't work. Then, according to the IO, a day later, on the 21st, Wiggle's sister made a complaint with SAPS about domestic violence, and then she got access to the property by pretending to be a real estate agent. It was also the twin sister who then went with Leach to report Vicky as missing. And I want to here make specific mention again of Arnold's domestic helper. She was instructed by Arnold to enter the house, aka the crime scene, to get clothes for his son. According to the state, Yolani was also instructed to make videos, take photographs of the house, which allegedly contained images of drugs all over the place, and it was sent to Ter Blanche, who then sent it to the family advocate. And as Kanna Swanepoel stated further in his affidavit, Yolani did not work for Vicky, so she entered the house unlawfully. So Yolani is in a very peculiar situation here, following orders from her employer, who sent her into what was a crime scene. But after a day of arguing in court, the teams agreed that the state can now have access to Yolani and Natalie. And remember, by being state witnesses, they cannot come and testify for the defense unless the state ends up not calling them to the stand. Standard said when they meet in court again next month, he will also provide a list of possible 204 state witnesses and how they may incriminate themselves. Peter Doberman asked for these consultations to be properly recorded, either via video or cell phone or proper notes, so that nothing can be changed. And another point of contention for the defense was the fact that they received a whole bunch of papers and affidavits from the state that was not numbered properly. Now, let me explain to you how it works in a case, or in any case. It's called an A section of the docket. You also get a B section and a C section. In a nutshell, what does that mean? Now, as a case unfolds, affidavits and any other documents discovered must be numbered, for example. Leach opens up a missing persons report. That report will be labeled A1, for example. This must show the sequence of events on how the state's case was discovered and unfolded. And Peter Doberman complained that he just got a whole bunch of papers and nothing was numbered. So how was he supposed to know the sequence of events? He accused Stander of still investigating the case when he stated on record a few times that the investigation was complete. He accused Stander of still not knowing what his case is against Arnold. But whatever is on this 1 gigabyte of digital data is going to be crucial to see what the state discovers. Lastly, I just wanted to give an update on Reinhard Leach. He now has a new lawyer from Legal Aid because his previous lawyer is retiring and he could therefore not proceed. And she has been so busy that she's hardly had time to consult with Leach and needs to be brought up to speed, and therefore also indicated that she was in no way ready to proceed with the pretrial conference. Leach is currently being detained at North End Prison in a single cell, and his father was there to support him during proceedings, and he told me that he would be there every single day of trial. So I hope now this makes sense to you as to the purpose of a pretrial conference and how it works, and the matter was postponed for 2 weeks. There's still a lot to be done and dusted before this matter is ready for trial in October. A reminder, if you're new to the podcast and have interest in the story, you can bring yourself up to speed with the first 21 episodes of Season 1 of Journey to Justice, available on all streaming platforms, including algofm.co.za. Until our next episode.
That was an Algo FM news exclusive.